What up, Rob?
What up, sir? Man, long time. Well, I would say long time no see, but I mean, I guess that's still the case. But also, long time no talk.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate on both ends, though. I don't think I've seen you for like what, maybe
pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID, yeah, pretty much since. Maybe once or twice since I've lived here in OKC, so maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. So for those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, Adam and I, we've been kind of doing this podcast over the last few years called the No BS Podcast. We haven't admittedly and guilty of not staying consistent with it due to our schedules and things like that, but it's not something that we've forgotten about and said that we are done with. It's always something we always want to continue doing, but as life would have it, it makes it difficult. But so for those of you who are tuning into this show that are familiar with us, know that a couple years back, you know, we were coming live every week with Facebook, and we had a lot of fun with that, and definitely something I know you reach out to me a lot more, admittedly, than I've reached out to you about keeping it going. I respect that, and I appreciate that, because it's not something that we stopped doing because I wasn't enjoying it. It's just, as we talked about, life. So,
yeah, you know, life kind of hits you with all sorts of turns, but
absolutely,
you know, we'd be foolish not to mention that Mr. Rob will be tying the knot here in May and has found a significant other that preoccupies his time and is worth it. So, you know, congratulations to you on that. And that is a 100% good reason why to divert away from not coming at me with your bullshit thoughts on sports and everything, but you know, I get it. We're gonna make this happen somehow. So just stay tuned. We want to do it. We want your input, but just stay tuned with us, and we're gonna get this to work. It wouldn't be like us to not have technical difficulties because we can't figure out how to get the video working.
Yeah, but
we're gonna start with this and go from there. So
absolutely. Now, I appreciate your comments there. The only thing that I did not appreciate and agree with, you said my BS commentary on sports, and the name of the show is No BS. So that would just mean that everything that I say is exactly that, no BS and straight, nothing but the truth. I just want to make that correct. And for those of you who are turning into the show and they're like, whoa, you give out BS? No, I don't, because the show is called No BS. So that's a technical error on Adam. I'm sure he's going to make a lot of those errors and a lot of, you know, things that you're not going to agree with, but that's just Adam, you know. So as you'll, for our new listeners, you're going to pick that up. For those of you who are familiar with the show, know that, you know, Adam tends to say things that are not always right, and I do. That's, you know, what was it, host with the most, and you know, that was what they used to call me, right? Because I used to split the most facts, the most truths, if I remember correctly.
I mean, I think you kind of threw out like a double negative there, so that automatically diverts to me being right. But no, we if you haven't listened before, we definitely have differing views on a lot of things.
Except when it comes to the GOAT, we agree there. We, you know, and you know, things like that, we agree on that, right?
So, little known fact. I am the self-proclaimed, and now others have started to buy into the GOAT at work. So actually on my desk, I have about 30 little miniature goats that sit on my computer monitor, and I'm known as the GOAT. So, you know, I can relate to that. And being a GOAT, it comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of knowledge. So I feel like my opinions on who the GOAT is with basketball are kind of more right than yours. But when we get to that topic, I might surprise you with my thoughts on it, because I might have changed a little bit since the last time we spoke, but awesome. We'll get there.
Okay, well, I look forward to hearing that. And so before I get things started, just again, for those who are just pointing into the show for the first time, the show is called the No BS Podcast. The only thing that's really changed since Adam and I did a podcast last time was I was living in Missouri at the time, and Adam has always, at least to the duration of the show, has always resided in Oklahoma City. However, I was residing in the Show Me State.
Ripping the 405.
Yeah, and so now I am in the, I guess you could say, I'm in the 913. However, I still kind of repping my Missouri number still, I guess. But so I'm technically repping the 913, the 816, I think it is. I don't know. I have now moved from the Show Me State to the Sunflower State.
You know what, though? It's all good, because I have had the same cell phone number since I've owned a cell phone. So my cell phone number is still a Columbia, Missouri number. And shout out to Columbia, because that's where, as Rob said, we both reside from Missouri. I mean, I was born in Brooklyn, where we go hard, but I spent most of my growing up life in mid-Missouri, and that is where a lot of my family and close friends and fond memories are at. So we still both have a big heart and a big following in Columbia. So shout out to Columbia.
Absolutely. Shout out to all my Columbia friends back home. Definitely miss hanging out with you guys. I mean, I've moved to Kansas about, it'll be a year coming in May, or actually April, so that's kind of gone fast really quickly. So the only thing that I miss mostly back home, especially right now, so I don't know if you know this, Dustin, there's this little big game that's happening on Sunday. Nothing big. It's called like the Super Bowl. And
is that the Rihanna performance?
Okay. There's a football game the same day as the Rihanna concert. I don't know why they did it that way, but that's what's going on. So
hey, don't hate on Rihanna, man. Rihanna's got it all, and I'm glad to see if she's back. And if anything ever happens with her and ASAP Rocky, I'm here, Rihanna. I'm here for you.
Hey, the only thing I'm gonna say is, Hey, don't get me wrong, Rihanna, I had the hugest crush on Rihanna back in my grade school days, but I'm just gonna repeat the words of Stephen A. Smith, and she isn't no Beyonce.
Rihanna, if you're listening, where have you been all my life?
No, I'm just saying, she's no Beyonce. She's not the queen, and I'll be honest with you, I was hyped for last year's Super Bowl, but not so much this year. But anyway, we'll get to all that. But anyway, what I was going to say is I miss my friends from back home, especially this time of year, because now I reside in Kansas. And so in that little small football game that we were talking about resides the Eagles and the Chiefs. And so I am right smack dab in the middle of all the Chiefs on the Kansas side and on the Missouri side. And I'm just, my fiance, my beautiful, gorgeous fiance, who I love very much, she is one of the biggest Chiefs fans. And so I am surrounded by nothing but Chiefs kingdom. And I got to say, I feel severely outnumbered. And I just wish I had a little bit more, little backup here. Like maybe some Falcons. I mean, there's a few Steelers fans around here. There's a few Buffalo Bills fans live in my neighborhood. But for the most part, I am surrounded, deep drowning in Chiefs kingdom, and it's really making it hard for me to cheer for them on Sunday. But we'll get to our.
At least you're not where I'm at. There's a significant Chiefs following, but the majority of people that live here in Oklahoma are big Cowboys fans. Anyone that knows anything about sports fans knows that Cowboys fans are the most annoying, stubborn fan base around. I mean, Cowboys fans keep Sony and Samsung and all the other TV producing companies in order because they go through a lot of TVs busting them for games that they already know they're gonna release. So I mean
here's
I guess TV producing companies or building companies are happy with Cowboys fans, but fuck the Cowboys. Let's be honest.
Absolutely. Now, before we get started, I just want to say, and I've said this to a lot of my friends here lately, and I've said it to my fiance and my soon-to-be father-in-law. Although Cowboys fans are very annoying, I think that the Chiefs, if they're not already there, their fan base is quickly starting to become more annoying to me than Cowboys fans. And for example, Nick Wright of FS1, First Things First.
Oh, the big LeBron.
Oh man. See, I love him when it comes to LeBron. And to be fair to him, he is a Kansas City resident or born and raised. So I understand his love for the Chiefs, but he makes it really hard to root for the Chiefs. So for that reason, and actually I don't want to say that. I'll tell you who I'm gonna. I think our listeners, I think they already know where I'm leaning towards, but I won't officially say my answer till we get to it. But let's just go ahead and get started. But just again, real quickly, again, if you're just tuning to the show for the first time, thank you. This is No BS. I'm Rob. That's Adam. For those of you who are returning, thanks for returning. Hopefully you guys enjoy the show as much as you guys did in the past, and hopefully we can continue to bring you guys some good content in the future. And as soon as Adam and I, and anyone that knows this show, knows that our kryptonite in this show is technology, and we were hoping to bring this show to you not just by podcast, new audio, was to also do Facebook Live or some other forts, but as fate would have it, Kryptonite still wins against Adam and I, but we will.
Yeah, conquer. I mean, I even went babyface for the show. I mean, you know, I've had a beard for the better part of 3 years now. I've been beardless since I hit the milestone of turning 35 in January. So, you know, turned over new leaf for the year. We'll see what happens with it.
New show, new Adam. I see. All right. Well, not much has changed here. I still got my beard. We'll never shave it. But anyway. We will hopefully bring you guys some live portion of where you guys can get involved in the show, and you know, maybe we can make it where you guys can join in and debate with Adam and I. So we'll work on that. But so Adam, let's just get started. So man, we have a lot going on right now. We have the Super Bowl Sunday. We have a lot of NBA trade deadlines. It's just a good time to be a sports fan right now. But let's just kind of go in order as far as like what's happening, you know, in sequence order here. I guess the most recent thing is there was this guy by the name of LeBron Lamone James.
Who's that?
Maybe you've heard of him. He's from a town called Akron, Ohio. He self-proclaimed himself the chosen one. His name, yeah, again, LeBron Lerone. Lamone. I always mess up his middle name, but James. He did a little thing, Adam. I don't know if you caught this in the news, but he kind of broke a title or broke a record that no one ever thought would be broken. He is now the all-time leading scorer in the NBA. He broke Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record that stood
captain.
He damn near held the record for about 40 years, and LeBron broke it. So now he alone, when you look up in the record books, I mean, he holds a lot of records, and he will go down and break you more records, I'm sure, before he wraps it up. But when you look in the record, for most points in the NBA, you're going to see LeBron's name on there.
Hey, you know one record that he's not going to touch?
I'm going to assume assists.
He's probably going to be third all time on assists.
I think I already know where you're going to go with this one.
So normal human beings, how many fingers do they have on a hand, Rob?
Well, I've seen people who have like nine.
On one hand?
Oh, on one hand, I thought
you'd see. Man, what kind of people are you seeing? Holy cow.
My bad. I thought you said hands in total or fingers in total. So a normal person, like I assume you are, have 5 fingers on each hand, a total of 10.
You know, and having 5 fingers, it'd be nice to have 5 rings, wouldn't it?
It would be, and you know what? He still has opportunity to do that, you know.
Yeah, but your boy from Akron is not getting another ring, so he's going to have to go with a bare finger on his hand.
You know who's going to go 5 bare fingers is your boy Brody. But we'll get to him whenever we get there. So let's just hold on there and take a shot to my guy. All right? Point is, Adam, is LeBron James is now the all-time leading scorer. So, Adam, let me ask you this. A, did you think that this record would ever be broken? And if you did, do you think that now that LeBron holds the record, do you see this record ever be broken? May in your lifetime or ever?
So, let's get one thing straight. For those of you who don't know Rob Crabtree, Rob is a big Falcons fan.
Absolutely.
He was a big Cavs fan. Then he became a Miami Heat fan. Like,
for the record, I am a big LeBron fan.
Then he became a Cavs fan again.
And then,
now he's an LA fan.
But some of us,
you know, like I've been a Knicks fan my whole life. I like the Bulls back in the 90s, but I've been a Knicks and then a Thunder fan.
Yeah. But you became a Laker fan, maybe not as big as an OKC or anything like that, when your boy Brody and your boy Carmelo were both a member of LA. Were you not?
Yeah, absolutely. And but that was not the first time they were together on a team. They weren't they in on a team together for a minute in what was the city? Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah, where they didn't do anything and they broke apart after 1 year. Yes, yes, you're right.
Hey, Carmelo came off the bench, okay?
Okay, I mean, Carmelo has been a bench player even way before, like, but we can get into that another
Taking shots at my two guys, okay.
I do.
To answer your question, though, congratulations to LeBron. That was a...
Congratulations to me, too, Adam. I feel like I also played a part in breaking that title as the biggest LeBron fan. So congratulations to us both.
LeBron. Oh, you're not the biggest LeBron fan. There's a bunch of other guys, but and
the girls. Biggest LeBron fan that you know. So
man, I might have to disagree with that. But
okay. The point is the congratulations to us both. And me and LeBron would both like to say thank you.
Okay. Well, that's fair. It's hard to say because a few years ago I don't know that I would have seen LeBron still playing. I just kind of felt like maybe like heading to the Lakers after the first year or so, I don't know that he would have been playing now, but as long as LeBron was going to play, I feel like he was going to break the record because, I mean, the dude's just a phenomenal athlete. He's probably the best athlete that's ever played basketball. Like, just pure build, strength, like determination to a degree. He works real hard on his body nonstop. But yeah, as long as he was going to play, I feel like he was going to break the record. So if anyone deserves to do it, it's LeBron. But where I'm at with it is what's more important is, and I do like how they stopped the game. I know that we were texting when the game was going on. The NBA had came out and said that they weren't going to do anything if the game was within 6 points or a minute left or whatever crap they came out with. But yeah, they had that shit planned, and you know that as well as I do. And I like how the shot he hit. They were actually playing the Thunder, which it was a really good game, to be honest. We'll talk about the winners and losers after this. But the shot he hit was that fadeaway jumper over Kenrick Williams. We have 3 Williams for the Thunder that start right now, in case you didn't know that. So Kenrick Williams was the guy that LeBron hit the shot over with 10 seconds left in the third quarter. They stopped it.
It's hard to keep track of all those Williams, you guys. You guys have like five Williams on your team, so it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and we got two players with the same name that we drafted this year. But, you know, we'll, I do like the ceremony they had. I do like how LeBron, before the third quarter started, towards the end of halftime, was talking to his sons, Bronny and Bryce, and he said he would need 8 points a quarter to break the record, but he asked his kids if he should go out and get it, and they said yeah, and he said he was going to. So he went out there, got the record, you know, gave Jay-Z a hug, and which I found kind of surprising that he gave Jay-Z a hug prior to speaking with or, you know, acknowledging Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's arguably one of the five best players to ever play the game, probably the best center to ever play the game, up there with Will Chamberlain and Bill Russell and Shaq. But I do like that. I like LeBron's I like that they let him speak for a few minutes, and the last words he said, if I remember correctly, were he's kind of crying a little, overcome with emotion. He's like, man, fuck it. And they didn't blare it out, and I love the fact that they let that go how it did, because that's the dude being real, and that's what I like, you know. And then I don't know if you caught it, but the commercial right after, they had two commercials. So they did like a LeBron throughout his career and whatnot, and then the next commercial was about the Cocaine Bear movie, which I found really funny, but. I never, you know, as long as he was going to play, I thought he'd probably break the record. And I'm happy for him. He deserves it. LeBron's done nothing wrong besides one interview in his career, the decision, in my opinion.
And that wasn't even wrong either, but that's another thing.
So. No, Jim Gray's a fucking idiot. So that's NBC doing that the way they did that. But no, I'm happy for him. You know, I'm happy for you that your guy did something like that. But what's going on talked about is my guy, the Brody, Russell Westbrook, actually achieved his 9,000th assist in that game. It wasn't the assist to LeBron's job, but he surpassed 9,000 assists that game.
I do recall them mentioning that, you know, and that's a, you know, and that's no shade at him. That's pretty impressive. I mean, him and LeBron are both going to be up there in the top five probably when they both retire in assists. That's impressive.
What's kind of your thoughts on it? And then I want to talk about the game itself after that. So what's your thoughts on the game?
Like you said, LeBron had been on the trajectory for years of passing it, but I didn't actually feel like it was going to real until it happened, because, you know, I remember, you know, 4 or 5 years ago was, you know, LeBron's on pace to beat it in 3 or 4 years. And then, you know, LeBron had this title of Superman, you know, and then, because he never got hurt, or Iron Man is what it was. Skip Bayless liked to call him as Iron Man because he never got hurt. Well, I mean, as always, Father Time is undefeated, and as LeBron got older, he started getting more and more injuries. I mean, even in the beginning of this year, people were wondering, will he even beat it this year? Because he had missed, you know, games, and at, I think, quarter through the season, he was like 1,200 points still away. And he was only averaging at that point under 25 points a game, and they were like, well, hell, is he going to get it this year? And as you know, as you get older, your body's not going to get any less, you know, fragile. So then it's like, well, maybe will injury be, because if you remember, a lot of people thought it was a foregone conclusion that Karl Malone was going to be the one that beat it. And then Karl Malone, his body started beating him up, and he never got a chance to beat it. Now, of course,
LeBron's... Rob, you work for a package handling company like I do, and you know, Karl Malone's nickname was the mailman, and all delivery drivers in any facet that do the job for a long time, their bodies break down. So the mailman's body broke down, and he never surpassed that record.
Yeah, and you know what, man? Obviously, LeBron is, you know, probably the best athlete of all time as far as conditioning. And I mean, hell, I hope I look as good and feel, you know, as LeBron does at 37 or 38, but the reality is I won't. You know, but, you know, so I worried. I never had a doubt he was going to beat the record per se, I just didn't know if it was going to be this year. And even coming into the last game, I wasn't even sure if he was going to beat it in that game. I kept telling all my friends, I was like, I don't think he's going to beat it tonight. I think he's going to, you know, yeah, when he came, it was after he turned his last birthday, he was averaging 30-plus points a game for like five, almost 10 points a game. But then he kind of went off, and then he started down, you know, down and down to about 25, 27 points a game. So I fully expected him to just probably, I kept telling people, I bet you he's going to fall five short, and he's going to do it on Thursday against Milwaukee. But then I was listening to all these commentary, and like, well, he did sit. He did sit, and so he's going to be fresh. And then, like you, Adam, because I know that we texted each other during this, whenever we saw LeBron's outfit, we said, yep, it's tonight. Because you cannot look – he looked like the Black Shaft, or like what people like calling him Shaft or whatever like that, the way he was looking all black and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, he ain't playing around tonight. He's beating it tonight.
The Black and, Shaft. Isn't Shaft already black?
Anyway. Yeah, I heard something funny like that.
No, you don't dress like that without being a man or a person on a mission. And LeBron, right. LeBron was in killer mode that night against my guys.
And I pretty much saw the foregone conclusion he was going to beat it, because at halftime he had like 25 points, whatever it was, and I was like, oh, there's no way in hell he doesn't beat it.
He was 13 at halftime. Or yeah. No, he was 16 away. I'm sorry, 16.
Yeah, so I was like
8-8.
Because I told my father-in-law, because we were both watching the game, I said, if he can finish the game or finish halftime with at least 25 points, he's going to beat it third quarter. If not, he's going to beat it in the fourth quarter. And sure enough, he beat it with like 10 seconds left in the third quarter. Couldn't have been more happier. Had it, you know, I had to document the moment. I had to pull out my phone, record it, because I don't think that's anything that's – And this goes, I guess, to my next question that I already asked you, but because I thought this was a record that other than LeBron, I didn't see anyone else breaking the record. And to be honest with you, I don't see anyone breaking this record, at least for sure in my lifetime, just because of all the load management nowadays. But, and also, you know, there's a lot of talks about them maybe shortening the season to about 62 games. Or 72 games, like, you know, because of all this load management, maybe their solution to that is lowering the amount of games per season. So if that happens, it's definitely going to make it hard for this record to be broken. But even if it doesn't, I just don't see it. You know, a lot of people are talking about this big thing right now is Cam Thomas insanity or whatever like that. All these people talk about, well, if he just averages 45 points for the rest of his career for 10 years, then he'll beat it. Well, Cam Thomas is not going to get 25 points tonight, so obviously he's not. I don't think he's going to be on pace to beat LeBron's record in 10 years, which kind of makes me mad, because since I moved to Kansas, I have become a betting man, and I needed him to get 26 points tonight, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So, damn you, Cam Thomas, but that's for another story. But I don't think it's going to be broken. Then a lot of people start comparing it to Curry's record, as far as, you know, which one, if any, do you see getting broken in your lifetime or if ever. And I think LeBron's record, because whenever he said and done, this record is going to be over 40,000. It could be 41, 42,000. Yeah, I don't know. If I had to guess, it's going to be probably somewhere in that 42,000. Because just to put that in perspective, when Kareem broke the record initially, he played another five seasons, and he was roughly, if I'm correct, around the same age LeBron is now. And so I don't see a reason why LeBron can't push this another 4,000 or 5,000 before he calls it quits.
Yeah,
it's broken.
I can see if Curry can stay healthy.
That's the only person I can
just
see.
Because he's a three-pointer. I mean, and yeah. Kareem only hit one three-pointer in his career, so that has to be noted, too. He scored all those points off of, you know, sky hooks and dunks and free throws and two-pointers minus one. But with the three-pointer being, you know, as prevalent as it is right now in basketball, and that's kind of like, I don't know, I watched the first half of the Clippers and Mavs last night. And like the first five or six shots combined for both teams that they made were threes. I mean, the Mavs made 9 threes in the first quarter last night, so it can be. I think if Curry could stay healthy and he stays with the Warriors, it could be done. But I honestly don't think it's happening. I think LeBron's got that pretty solidified. But the best part about the whole damn thing is that he did it in a fucking loss.
Yeah, you know what?
And not only that, only the second game of the entire season where my Thunder were on national television. And I was actually talking with one of my buddies that's had some opinions and has posted them when we've had episodes and shows, Mike Strecker. And
the famous Mike Strecker.
He brought up a good point. He talked about how it got us some exposure on TV, and we're a young and coming team. I mean, we had the number 2 pick with Chet Holmgren, who's not going to play a game this year because he hurt himself in a game in the summer. You know, I mean, we're going to be there here in the near future. We got a great, I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the first time All-Star. Congrats to him. He deserves it. I mean, we're coming, and these guys are hungry, and we play great team ball. And that was the difference in the game, I feel, was that it was a game of team ball with one team and a game of LeBron with the other team. Because if you look at the players on the Lakers, like Anthony Davis looked like he was clueless the whole game. Like
he seemed checked out in that game, and then a lot of noise after the game when LeBron broke the record. AD seemed disengaged, didn't really seem interested. It led to people actually thinking that maybe AD would be traded today, which didn't happen, which I would have been all for, honestly. But we can get to that when we talk about trades. But
no, and, said West, and Westbrook got into an altercation with Darvin Ham, the Laker coach.
Yeah, I saw that.
He got traded the next day to Utah, but he ain't going to stay there. That will get there. But no, I mean,
real quick, I meant to ask you this, and this is a perfect way to ask you this. So you said that Westbrook and Utah don't like Westbrook. If just real quickly, am I right? The whole racist thing that he made a comment with the fans, that happened in Utah, right?
Oh yeah.
I remember that. Okay, I just wanted
Utah's to... fans are notorious for, right. And everywhere has fans that say things that you know right. They can say from the stands because they feel like they can say whatever the hell they want.
Right, and I just remember a couple of years ago that incident happened in Utah, right?
Yeah, it did. Like I said, he ain't staying there. He's going.
Right. I thought that was the case, but I just wanted to make sure I was right. But real quick, I want to say, as much you know, as a shot that I took at your OKC Thunder, beginning of the show, they actually are a fun team to watch. I will say, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's fun to watch. You know, a lot of people like Josh Giddey. I personally am not that big on Chet Holmgren. I wasn't when he was in Gonzaga. I don't think he's going to be the hold up very well in an NBA based on how skinny he was. The fact that he got hurt in the offseason kind of doesn't make me feel any better about that. All the Williams kids you guys have on your team.
Jalen Williams from Santa Clara and Jalen Williams from Arkansas, both rookies drafted this year. Both stepped up. Kendrick Williams had a good game. And it's important to note that Giddey is dating a Jenner. And hasn't had the curse that has happened.
Oh, shit. Well, it's coming. The one person that a lot of people like, and I saw, I don't know if it was Van Gundy or whoever was calling Thursday night's game. A lot of people, they seem like that guy Isaiah Joe, that apparently he'll get you 2 or 3 threes a game.
He's the third. Right now, he's leading the league with the third best three-point percentage at 45% in the league. And he's not even a starter. But that dude's got a smooth stroke. I don't know if you, like, I think he hit fourth quarter.
He hit at least 2 or 3, yeah.
Yeah, and his stroke is real good. But, yeah, so here, if I'm a Laker player in that game, I don't understand how you don't go out and go fuck someone up or do something like to get the team motivated. Like your guy is needs to win that game. Like that's important to me that he lost that game, because I wanted to throw this at you. I saw this stat earlier and I don't know if you saw it, but so here's LeBron's milestones throughout his career. So when he passed Michael Jordan on his third on the all-time league scoring list, I believe it was, right? Yeah, he lost by 16 to the Nuggets. So that would have been when he was probably with Cleveland the second go-around. Yes. When he passed Kobe, he lost by 17 to the Sixers.
Yes, sir.
When he became the all-time leading scorer, including playoffs, so combined playoff points and regular season, he lost to the Warriors. When he hit the 10,000 point, 10,000 assist, 10,000 rebound plateau, that was probably the first go-around with the Cavs. He lost by 29 to the Suns. Now, the Cavs did not have the greatest teams his first stint there when he got drafted, so I'll give that one a pass. When he passed the mailman, Karl Malone, they blew a 16-point lead and lost to the Wizards without Bradley Beal and Kuzma. And then, of course, last on Tuesday when they played the Thunder, they lost to the Thunder by 3, which that game was – I mean, they weren't even in that game besides the first quarter. It was a good first quarter, but, I mean, the Thunder were up steadily throughout the whole game and controlling the game 100%. It was LeBron versus the entire team. Like, Westbrook, I think, ended up with 20-some-odd points, but
– And he had 4 threes in that game, too.
But if I'm a guy on the Lakers and I'm a player on that team, there's no way you don't go give it all to try to solidify a win. Plus, you're fighting for a play-in spot in the playoffs because the Thunder were in 12th, Lakers were in 13th. We went up a full game on the Lakers by winning that game. That game was important, you know.
Here's where I disagree with you. I mean, you're right, it was important, but I don't think the team. I think for the most part, I mean, the only player I can point that did not show up is Anthony Davis. I mean, your boy Brody showed up. He had 4 threes in the whole game, which that's pretty crazy. Even though he's like one of the worst 3-point shooters, he hit 4.
He's quietly was having a great year coming off the bench with the Lakers. I agree. Don't really talking about.
And then you had
people like to hate that guy for some reason, but whatever.
Yeah, and then the newly acquired but now newly traded Hachimura came out and gave you double figures.
They didn't trade Hachimura, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh.
Or no, I'm sorry, not Hachimura. They traded
Bryant,
that's what it was. Sorry. Anyway, so they, you know, Hachimura came out, gave double figures. Westbrook gave you double figures. LeBron, of course, gave you double figures. There's someone else that had a pretty solid game. I had the stats in front of me, but I don't anymore. But either way, I think the really only person that didn't show up was AD. And, he was I go back. I'm a betting man now. He had an over-under of 27.5 in that game. Actually, no. I think his was 32 in that game. LeBron had an over-under of 27. So that kind of tells you Vegas was expecting a big night for AD. He didn't give you 20. I think what he finished with, like, under 15 points?
Yeah, but they didn't play team ball, Rob. Like, it was all give the ball to LeBron and let him get his points. Like, other guys got their numbers and whatnot, but it was give the ball to LeBron and let him break the record. LeBron only had 2 points after he broke the record.
Yeah, I think at that point, I don't know. I think your team is just overpowering at that point. So, like I said, you're okay, OKC. You guys have a bright future. But get back on LeBron real quick. You know, I'm glad for LeBron. I'm happy for him. I don't think this record is going to be beaten. Let me ask you this, Adam, before we move on, though. If you had to choose one record that will more likely be broken, do you think it's LeBron's scoring record or Steph Curry's three-pointer record?
Oh, Steph's three-point record, without a doubt.
Yeah, I would, too, only because that's all the NBA is today is threes. I can't tell you who I think could beat. Like, I can't, like, name a player.
Trae Young. That, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. Trae Young's kind of – I feel like he's kind of going the other way now. He's not Ice Trae anymore. I mean, hell, there's been a lot of talks that maybe Atlanta deals him or something like that.
There's the way the game's played now. It can be a number of guys that break the all-time three-point record. Plus, Steph's not done. We don't know how much longer he's going to play for. And, I mean, he's been getting injured at a high clip as of the last few years, so it's hard to say. But, I think that record goes before the before the scoring record goes. But
I will say to the person that does beat the 3-point record, I mean, you got to think they're going to be up there in points. So what's the 3-point record right now? It's like, what? Let's see. Let me look it up real quickly here. So all time. Excuse our audience that are listening on the radio, but I got to look this up. It is
3,302 threes, it looks like.
Okay, so
threes, I'm sorry.
Okay, so times that, so what, 3 points times 303
or 3302?
So three times 3302, that's 9,000. So just to put in perspective, you had to at least score 9,906 points in your career. Obviously, that's just threes, so I don't know, let's just say hypothetically. You toss, let's say you get, what's a reasonable number as far as twos? So let's say you get what, 15,000, 20,000 in twos, two-pointers. So that puts you at, that'll put you over it. But, I don't think it's going to be done, but I think, like, as you said, if someone's gonna do it, it's gonna be a high volume 3-point shooter, and I don't think that's anyone in the league currently, but that could be someone that's in junior high right now, or middle school. Maybe that's the next Steph Curry.
I will say this though, too, Rob. So before the game, I was like reflecting on LeBron and his career because I've been blessed to be able to watch LeBron's whole career, and
as have I,
and Michael Jordan, for the most part of his entire professional career, for the most part, I was considering LeBron to possibly get close to surpassing Jordan. But then watching the game play out, it solidified my entire thought process from the get-go, is that LeBron, he gets guys to play up and play better, but LeBron's not a dog like Jordan is. He's not, and that's why Jordan's the GOAT. LeBron will never be the GOAT. It's always going to be MJ.
Well, if I remember, prior to the show, you said that my answer might surprise you. And that didn't surprise me at all.
And this is where I was going to bust out the stats of how many times where he set scoring accolades and lost games, which is almost every one of them, and they weren't even close games. But if Jordan's breaking those records, Jordan's teams aren't losing. I promise you that. Promise you, without a doubt.
I don't know about that one.
I mean, I 100% without doubt my mind agree with that statement that his teams are not losing. I just think that adding players that are at a high level to build a super team versus the way that the league used to be with building guys that you draft and players that you draft, I think that building a team and that nucleus from the start together just is a better overall setup than adding guys like a super team. Because look at the Warriors. They drafted Draymond. They drafted Klay. They drafted Steph. They drafted Pool. They drafted who else do they draft on that team? All those players, they, minus Wiggins and now Gary Payton Jr., who's back there again, and Iguodala. Those are all guys.
Did you say Wiseman?
Wiseman played 60 games for him. You can forget about that. But
they traded him away.
Yeah, but all those players that I named, they all were drafted and came up together. I think that builds an overall better team and a nucleus than what LeBron has done with the teams he's gone to. Because, how many rings do the Warriors have now? The core of three? Actually, yeah, core of three. No, core of four, because Iggy has the same amount of rings that that Klay, Steph, and Draymond have. So they got four, right?
Yeah. And let me ask you this real quickly. You talked about LeBron in a record-breaking performance and a loss. Am I correct or am I wrong that when Jordan dropped, 63 points in a game against the Celtics in a playoff game, did they not lose that game?
Okay, so you're comparing the Thunder who are the youngest team in the league with an age average of like 23.
But that's not what your point. Your point
had Larry Bird, Kevin McHale.
That was a seat. And this is the point that all
Jordans. Dennis Johnson. Robert Parrish at the end of his career. Let me keep going here. Who else?
I understand that, but you would think that 63 points would get it done because obviously if these
that was Jordan's second year.
Okay, but your point was it's like there's no way that a team would allow him to lose in a record breaking performance, and they did.
No. Oh, okay. So we're gonna go with one. What's Jordan's record in the finals? 6-6.
Yeah, and then what's his overall as a career? And that's my problem with Jordan fans. And we are not going to get into this. They're going to go all day about this. But people always want to focus on Jordan's finals record. But let's not talk about his record other than just the finals. Let's take that aside. And then
they had the second best record regular season that was broken by the Warriors a few years ago. Without Kevin Durant on the team.
Anyway, let's move on to it. This is that BS that you were talking about at the beginning of the show. So anyway, let's move on real quick. So let's do trade deadline is also something that's going on big. So your boy Brody. Your boy is no longer a Laker, and as a Laker fan-ish, aka LeBron fan, I couldn't be happier that he's gone. When I was watching that game, and I was texting you meanwhile, I was like, where the hell was he passing that ball? Your boy just makes a whole lot of it. Your boy could average a triple-double this year. Points, rebounds, and turnovers. Because he is the turnover king in the last 2 years, and so for that reason, I'm glad he's gone. He was not a good fit in LA. The one thing that's been successful at every LeBron team was Bron needed perimeter shooters. Brody is not a perimeter shooter,
but he had the second most threes made in the game for the Lakers. So
what's the old saying? Even sometimes just the sun shines on a dog's ass or whatever the case may be. That's what happened that game. You know, of course you can have a few hot nights, but overall, isn't he like a career like 20% 3-point shooter? It's not his game, but yet he'll jock up 4 or 5 threes a game when that's not his game.
Yeah, because he's not afraid. He's another guy that's a dog. He's not afraid.
I mean, one thing I will say about your boy Brody is that he never cheats the game. He always gives efforts and all this thing. You know, maybe he can instill that with AD a little bit. Because I wish AD would have that same effort every single game, in and out. Otherwise, the Lakers be in a better position right now. So I wish we could clone Westbrook's energy and his effort and put it in the other Lakers players, and we'd be fine.
You know, but, and before you go on and we continue with the trade stuff, another record that was broken, not that game, but when Russell Westbrook broke the set the record for most triple doubles in a regular season. It was his MVP year with the Thunder. I think he had hit like it was 43 or 44. It was against the Nuggets in Denver. He put up a 60-point triple double, hit the buzzer beater, descended into overtime. It was like a bank three shot from like 10 to 15 feet behind the 3-point line. They won the game.
Okay, that's impressive. So I know what you're going with that stat. You're trying to say that his team won in a record-breaking.
Absolutely.
Okay, so good. That's great. But anyway, so we digress. So your boy's gone. He's going to, for the moment, Utah, which we both agree that's not going to happen. We'll dive in a little bit each of these. So the big ones, your boy's in Utah for the moment.
He's not put in the state of Utah.
But for the moment, he's on Utah, although we both agree he won't play a single minute. D'Lo is back with LA, the team that originally drafted him.
Hopefully he doesn't snitch on his teammate.
I think he learned his lesson that time.
Yeah, and Swaggy P probably deserved it.
So just record to the locker room if you're cheating on your wife or your girlfriend, maybe not tell that in front of D'Lo. You never know.
Iggy Azalea didn't deserve that shit.
So just we're in the locker room in an age of cell phones, and you know, just be worried that if D'Lo's around, you might not be the best guy to, you know, tell your dirty dark secrets to.
Don't be an Antonio Brown in the locker room for all you future athletes.
Don't be Antonio Brown in any aspect, if you're any athlete or any person. But you know, that's another one of Adam's guys. But that'll be for another day. And then let's see. Obviously, the two bigger ones is Kyrie to Dallas, which his press conference the other night was a fucking joke, but that'll be another discussion. And then obviously the big one last night that I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I was like, what? And that's KD going to Phoenix. So that was a shocker.
So yeah, nothing surprised me with that that guy anymore. Waking up and 4th of July in 2012, or no, it's not 2012, it's 2016. When he left that team that should have won the finals that year here to go to the Warriors. Doesn't surprise me.
After blowing a 3-1 lead at that.
I got the notification for that a little bit after midnight this morning, and I was like, yeah, surprised me. I went right back to you.
I was asleep by midnight. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, and I checked Facebook, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So that's kind of a shocker. But so Adam, let me ask you this. So first, I want to know two things. First one, as our resident Brody fan, if there's a Westbrook fan club, Adam Birchman is the president of it. So as president of the Westbrook club, I want to know, where do you think that your boy is going to end up ultimately when it's all said and done? I've heard Chicago. I've heard the Clippers. I think those are the two main ones that I've heard. Do you see him ending up in either one of those? Or where do you think your boy is going to end up this season?
So Utah is definitely going to buy him out. They don't want that contract on their books. They made that trade to clear the contract, clear some cap space, and solidify some draft picks. So that's why they did that. There's no way in hell he's going to go play for Billy Donovan again. That didn't work when he was here, so he ain't going there. He's not. He might as well not put his house on the market in LA. He's going to go to the Clippers because they got rid of John Wall. He went back to freaking Houston. Love it. After he spoke so shitty about them. They got rid of Reggie Jackson, who went to the Hornets. So they are in need of a point guard, and I think Westbrook, he excelled with Paul George when he was here. They played really well. Kawhi doesn't need, you know, Kawhi's Kawhi. Whether he can come back and be what he was at one point, I doubt it, but Kawhi's still an elite defender and a great player.
He'll play his 20 games in the year, you know, and then that's about what I'll give, you know.
I think Russ is going to the Clippers. I don't think he's putting his house on the market. I think he's going, staying in LA and going to be a Clipper. And Russ's game is based off athleticism.
How ironic is that, to just go from one team to the other?
That's where we're at in the NBA now, man. That's how it works. Like, guys get to go where they want to go. Like, names can go where they want to go. But, so the athleticism isn't there, but the effort, he's a max effort dude. He's 100. There's no middle speed with him. He's 100% effort.
And that never goes away for any athlete. Your athleticism may go away, but the one thing that can never go away is effort. Effort is just that. It's an effort thing. So.
And but the Clippers have players that can shoot the ball at a high pace and a high clip. So him going there, he doesn't need to score like he does. He can, and he will. He can get to the basket better than – he's probably like a maybe third or fourth best point guard to get into the basket outside of Ja and Kyrie when he's right in his mind. Luka, obviously, just to name a few. But I feel like that'd be a good fit. And Ty Lue from Mexico, Missouri – as the coach there in the Clippers, I think he's a great coach, and I think that will be a good fit for him because Russ needs a solid coach, and he hasn't had that since he's been in LA. Who was the coach that won the championship with them in 2020? What was his name? He was Frank Vogel.
Yep.
I don't think he was a leader in the locker room. I don't think Darvin Ham is quite yet. I think he will be. But wrestling's a solid coach, and I think that Ty Lue is that, and I think that's a good fit. So that's where I think he's going to go. What about you?
I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I didn't even think about the Billy Donovan aspect as far as Chicago. A lot of people thought Chicago only because, you know, I personally haven't really watched a lot of Bulls games, but apparently they don't really seem to have a lot of spark to their lineup right now, and they felt like someone like Westbrook could bring spark to their lineup.
But with Brooklyn doing what they did and dropping off, that opens the door for like a Chicago, New York Knicks, a Indiana Pacers, like one of those teams that is like mid-level, probably going to make the playoffs, can step into a top four spot in the playoffs in the East, which the East has been the better conference this year so far. But yeah, the West is about to shatter that with all these moves that have happened.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's go to the next big trade. How do you feel about the Durant to the Phoenix trade? Which, those of you who don't know the full trade, let me get it pulled up here. So, full trade for Kevin Durant to the Suns is Kevin Durant's going to the Suns, and the Suns are sending Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, four first-round picks, and a 2028 pick swap for the Nets to the Nets for Durant and T.J. Warren, who was the bubble MVP, if you guys don't remember, when the playoffs were in Orlando. Was that Orlando? Is that where they were that year of COVID? T.J. Warren freaking took the league by storm in the bubble. And hasn't done shit really since then.
So my initial thoughts were, well, first off, in shock because I didn't see that coming. But two, my second thought was, really? That's all they, I felt like the Brooklyn Nets got a steal because they gave up someone like Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges. Like, really? Like, I especially if I'm Phoenix, I know that they, I mean, I guess they didn't have to move on from Durant because they still have, what, 3 years, 4 years on this contract. There's no way in hell I'm giving up. There's no way in hell I would have asked for a Devin Booker. There's no way in hell that I'm not giving up KD without getting like a Devin Booker, but instead I give you Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges. Like, that's all it took. Like, I understand the draft pick part of it. Yeah, that's, you know, four first rounders, I guess. Well, I guess. But honestly, like, as far as the players that they swapped it, I was like, wow. Like, that's all it took. Like, those guys aren't big names by any means. Like, that's it. That was my big shock. But
you think that the Nets won the trade?
No, they didn't. Because anytime that you give up a caliber player like Durant, you're not getting better. You go from one of the top contenders in the East once Durant is healthy, and now you're going to be in the basement of the Eastern Conference. And this trade of Kevin Durant is probably going to set you back, you know, 3 to 5 years before you're relevant again.
So let me read this to you real quick, and then I want to know why you think Phoenix won the trade. So this is going to be this is their roster now. Here's their starting five. You got CP3, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, probably Durant at the three, TJ Warren at the four, and DeAndre Ayton at the five. Solid starting lineup. But here's the rest of the team now. You got Damian Lee, Jack Landale, Cam Payne. I like Cam Payne. I liked him when he was here. I actually met him as a rookie, but that's an Adam story. So, Ish Wainwright. They had Dario Saric, but they made a trade with the Thunder for Darius Bazley. So, Darius Bazley, Dwayne Washington Jr., Torrey Craig, Josh Okogie, Landry Shamet, and Bismarck Biyombo. So, most people that casually follow the NBA probably only know maybe six players out of that group.
Right. But as someone who follows the NBA, I know pretty much all those players. Now, they're not big name players, but At least
you know who Dwayne Washington Jr. is.
Okay, that's the one I don't.
Fuck, I don't even know who that is, Rob. I mean, that could, you could give me 10 pictures of basketball players and I wouldn't know who the hell that is.
Okay, you're right. That's the only one that I know. But I know the Craig. I know the other ones that you had mentioned. I've heard of them. So, yeah, outside of that, you're right. You know, obviously, Cam Johnson was a good perimeter defensive player. You know, Mikal Bridges
is a great two-way player, and he has not missed a single game in his NBA career. In the 5 or 6 years he's been a player, he's not missed a game.
Right, right. And I understand. Like, you know, it's not like they got scrubs in return, but in my opinion, when you give up a superstar, you always lose the trade. Because there's not – because Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, they don't equal anything close to what Kevin Durant is in one player. And so that's what I'm saying. And in order to win in today's league, you got to have – you know, it used to be you just need one superstar. Now you need multiple. You know, back in LeBron's early ages, you can get away with just winning with one superstar. LeBron could carry a team to a championship. But now he can't do that anymore. Now people are putting together big twos, big threes, you know, whatever the hell it may be. So, I mean, hell, even if you just had Kevin Durant, I didn't think they were going to win the championship because I really didn't feel like they were going to beat a Milwaukee or
Boston.
Boston. But now you don't even have Kevin Durant. So there's no way in hell you're going to beat any of those teams. That's even if you make the play-in tournament or even make, you know. And so, yeah, so you lose. Where the only thing that worries me on the Phoenix side is that CP3 obviously has been known to be injury-prone. Devin Booker is coming off an injury. Don't know how long that's going to be. So that's the only thing that worries me because now, you know, let's say CP3 misses a few games, which he likely will at some point. Now you're relying as Devin Booker as your number two, which he as you could see in the finals when they lost to Milwaukee, that Devin Booker wasn't always the most reliable.
Where's the Reggie Miller picture of the choking around his neck when you need it?
Yeah, right. I mean, Devin Booker did not show up in that finals, and so that's why they said that if Devin Booker is your number one scorer, you're not going to win a title. So obviously. You know, KD steps in and is now that number one spot. You know, and another thing that I was listening to, I want to say it was Colin Cowherd, and he brought up a good point, how lucky of a career that KD has had. And every spot that he's been at, he's always had a great point guard. You know, those early stages with Westbrook.
A freaking leader. A leader. Because he's What's not that? A leader.
Well, yeah, yeah, but not, yeah, he's not a leader, but so not only is he at every stop that he's at, well, I wouldn't say Kyrie's a good leader, but the point is that what I'm trying to say is at every point, every place in his career, he's had great point guards, you know, it was Westbrook, and then he went to Curry, and then he went to Kyrie, and now he has the point guard. Like, he has gotten so lucky as it comes to point guards, and so... I think that obviously Chris Paul is the best leader. I don't want to say, I mean, because there's nothing, you can't really say anything negative against Steph Curry, but, and, you know, Chris Paul has been kind of known to be kind of be like a dirty player. But for the most part, he's a good team leader. And so the good thing is he doesn't have to be the leader of that squad because that's not KD's thing. He doesn't want to, he's not looking to come to be a leader of anything. So I like their chances. I think it's a good trade for Phoenix. I guess we'll see what the trade looks like for the Nets. But let me ask you this though, with the other big trade. So
I want to voice my opinion here. I think the Nets run away with that trade 100% because they finally, after all these stupid trades that they've made throughout their tenure being in Brooklyn, because a few years back they traded, I don't know if you remember, but they traded for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce when they were downward spiral. They had Jason Kidd as a coach, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, and then Brooke Lopez, a young Brooke Lopez as their starting five, and they couldn't do shit. Then they bring in Kyrie, KD, and Harden. They can't do shit. Then they go trade Harden for Ben Simmons, which I think was a great trade for Philly. Ben Simmons is never going to amount to anything. I mean, he's a head case. But they set up for their future, and I think that was important to do. And Mikal Bridges, I really like him as a player. I think he's really good, and I think that now that he's in a leader role where he's going to be the best player on the team, I think he's going to flourish in that. And I like Cam Johnson, too, as a player. Oh, yeah.
Cam Johnson's going to beat LeBron's scoring record. So
Cam Johnson that they just got. Not so they have two Cam Johnsons now.
Cam Thomas. Sorry, Cam Thomas.
But the Suns' window with this trade is this year and next year.
Yeah, you're right.
That's it. And now they've locked into having two. Well, they paid eight in the summer, didn't they? So three players that are
As far as I know, they have not paid him yet.
Oh, they gave him the whatever that contract's called where they signed him for the 1 year.
Yeah.
But they're locked into Durant and Booker, which isn't bad, you know. Chris Paul is, what, 37, 38? So he has maybe a couple more years, if that. The window for them to win, and one part that no one really talks about is Monty Williams was an assistant coach when the Durant, Westbrook were here in OKC. He's a great coach, and players love playing for him. So it's going to – KD's going to do real well playing for that team and him as a coach. He's a very well-liked coach in the locker room and around the league. So I think that that's going to be huge. Their windows this year and next year, man, they became the favorites in the West after that trade. They have one of the top, I'd say, three or four starting five in the league, minus maybe Golden State when they're healthy – maybe Boston. And then, I mean, after that, you got teams that are second tiers. Like, so they have a top three starting five. But, I mean, ever since that Game 7 blowout loss to Luka and the Mavs, they haven't looked right. So hopefully that they can turn it around because they're a fun team to watch when they are right. But I don't think they got a bench, man. If they have to go to a bench player, Campaign's probably their best bench player.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
I don't know. They might, in the buyout market, they might be getting guys to go there that are ring chasers. But I think Brooklyn stole that trade without a doubt, with all the picks that they got too.
Yeah. When you put it that way, I tend to agree. So real quickly before we move on to our last time of Super Bowl. Out of all the moves that guy had done now that the trade deadline has passed, so you had D'Lo to the Lakers, you have Kyrie to the Mavs, and then obviously we just talked about KD and the Suns. And maybe there's a trade that we didn't mention that you like most. Out of all those trades that happened, what's the one that you like the most and that you think will be the biggest impact for the second half of the season?
So there's two that I really like, but I want to touch on Kyrie and Luka. I think that I've read a lot of people think that that's going to work really well. I'm not really sold on that. I think it makes them better for sure, but Kyrie that's Luka's team. I mean, Luka is the future of the NBA. He's going to be an MVP in the next few years as long as he can stay healthy. So I'm not sold on that. And they had to get rid of Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie, which were two very solid role players for them. But we'll see what happens. But two trades that I think are under the radar that are great. One is Gary Payton Jr. going back to the Warriors. He was their best defender in the playoffs last year. They didn't want to let him go, but they knew that they couldn't pay him what they needed to pay him, and then they go and get a steal for him, getting him back there and getting rid of Wiseman, and I think that was all that they really lost. Wiseman and a couple picks between a three-team trade with Detroit, Portland, and Golden State. But how about my fucking New York Knicks, Rob? Josh Hart. That is a huge, huge, huge piece for the Knicks. They are going to be a playoff team now. That makes them a playoff team.
I mean, you guys were a playoff team last year and didn't do anything.
No, we didn't make the playoffs last year.
Or the year before that, and you got beat by Trae Young.
That was, you know, we got swept by Ice Trey. But like in him and his questionable hair. But no, I love Josh Hart going to the Knicks. I think that is huge because I wasn't 100% sold on Brunson being the guy there. Although, what's his name? Julius Randle's an all-star again. They're a piece away from being a real contender, but they can play defense under Thibodeau. And I like Josh Hart going there. I really think that's a solid move for them. They didn't really have to give up much. Yeah. I'm trying to look to see what they end up giving up for that. I think they gave up Kevin Knox, who doesn't play any minutes for them, and maybe one other small piece. But that, I like those two trades a lot. Gary Payton Jr. going to Golden State and Hart going to the Knicks. How about you?
I like two. Since you gave two, I'll give two.
The Knicks gave up Cam Reddish, who doesn't play for them and didn't fit, so they didn't really lose much in that trade. But I'm sorry.
You're good. I like Sadiq Bey going to Golden State.
Before you go on with that, he's not with Golden State. They sent him elsewhere. Him to – while you're talking about it, they sent him to –
Well, I'm going to research right now.
He went to the Hawks.
Okay, well, Sadiq Bey, I liked him initially going. I still like it for the Hawks because I like Sadiq Bey. He's been a low-key in fantasy basketball. He's been low-key clutch for me over the last 2 years. But, he'll put up, he'll get you mid 15 to low 20 points a game. He'll get you about 5 or 6 rebounds a game. He'll get you about 5 or 6 assists a game. I think that's a good pickup for now the Atlanta Hawks. And the other one I like is Jakupolo. Now
Toronto. He's
Toronto. Which, speaking of Toronto, I was really surprised. There's a lot of talks that either Toronto is going to trade either OG and Anobi or even why am I spacing on his name right now? Van Fleet. There was a lot of talk that maybe Van Fleet or OG and Anobi would be moved.
Hey, where did OG and Anobi play high school ball?
Jefferson City, Missouri.
Jefferson City, Missouri.
I actually did know that. That's what, and I kind of like his name, OG. I know that's, I forgot what his actual name is. It's a quote, and I'm probably going to butcher the hell out of this. Kugawa. Or something like that. I just like it against OG. It makes me think of like Star Wars. You know, if you're a Star Wars fan, it makes me think of OG and Anobi, like, you know, Obi-Wan. Anyway, so that's my Star Wars geekness coming out. But I like his name. He's an OG. But I like that. I like those two moves. I do like the Lakers getting back D'Lo. He's obviously an upgrade at the point guard just as far as shooting. I like that.
What about the so they also got Malik Beasley, and we're going to end this pretty quick, but they also
Vanderbilt.
Got Beasley, Vanderbilt, and then they also got Mo Bamba from the Magic.
I like Mo Bamba as long as he's not punching people.
That was a trade for Pat Beverly.
Which I found was funny because he's like, oh, it's a reunion, and then he got shipped out. So no reunion. As long as Mo Bamba is not punching people on the court, that's the only good thing is that I thought the Lakers were already pretty good set as far as bigs. Now they just added another big, so I don't really know how that's going
to
work. But
they lose Bryant. He went to the Nuggets.
Well, that's true, but, we have KD, we have AD, we have Hachimura. I guess you're right, but I do like Westbrook, or I do like D'Lo, and I also like Vanderbilt.
Hey, go ahead, and then I got a point, and then we can.
I was just gonna say I like Vanderbilt on the defensive side.
How about Pat Beverly and Russell Westbrook being on the same team and getting along?
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
If they were
like, or no, yeah, you're right, they were. But then again, who was another one? A lot of people. I remember Rondo and LeBron didn't get along, and then they end up on the same squad.
Yeah, so, but I think the Beverly Westbrook deal, because Beverly intentionally injured Westbrook when we were going to go back to the finals and beat Miami that year.
Well, that's just what it is when you're teammates. And what's the big thing I've been hearing about Scottie Pippen Jr. and like what's that about? Like now he's teammates with someone who like dated his mom or something like that.
So Michael Jordan's son is dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Okay.
So Michael Jordan's oldest son is dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, which I mean, from The Last Dance with how Jordan dogged Pippen and exposed him, and now his son's dating his wife. It's never ending with that, but
I've been seeing a lot of memes about that, so.
Yeah. But no, the trade deadline was very exciting this year. There's a lot of big trades, so it'll be interesting to see how the final stretch of the season goes and how the playoff seedings shape up.
Yeah, we agree. All right, let's move real quickly, last topic of the night. Obviously, there's a big game.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, so there's a big concert. Rihanna's going to be performing, and when you know during the halftime show while she's performing, they're putting along a little football game, or maybe it's the other way around, you know. But we have the Fly Eagles Fly versus Chiefs Kingdom. I'm so tired of hearing about that being now a Kansas resident. But anyway, so Adam, so we have the big game Sunday. Who you got? Maybe give me a final score prediction. And then also give me an MVP prediction.
So it's very rare that you get the two best teams from the entire football season making it to the playoff or making it to the Super Bowl, injuries and everything that happens with football. But I do think that the Chiefs and the Eagles were the two best teams. I was waiting for the Eagles to drop off all year because I thought it was a fluke that they were as good as they were. But watching them towards the end of the year, Jalen Hurts is that guy, man. He is that dude is has been underestimated his entire athletic career, whether it's at Bama and they benched him at halftime and went with Tua to win the national championship. Then he comes to Oklahoma here after a successful stint with Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. Probably should have won the Heisman. Didn't really put up the same numbers as those guys put up, but walked in here and did a great job for the Sooners. Still a Mizzou fan, though. Not a Sooner fan. That's no. But, he's probably the MVP of the league. It's either him or Mahomes. I mean, I flip a coin. I personally think it's going to go to Mahomes, but I think that Hurts should probably win it.
We're going to find out here probably in the next half hour. The NFL Honors is going on as we speak.
Oh, I thought that was Saturday, but anyway.
I did too, and then I was watching the news, and apparently it's going on tonight. So just real quickly, it looks like Geno Smith is your comeback player of the year, which isn't really a shocker to anybody. And it looks like, let's see. You go on with your thing, and then
Two best teams from the whole year are in the Super Bowl. People can say the Bills, but they didn't look right the last month of the season. Then just everything that happened with them, with the Hamlin scare. Glad he's okay as well, but they didn't look right. Josh Allen cannot be the only guy that can run the ball on that team. They need a running back. So they need so they dropped off. I honestly thought I can't root for the Bengals because I'm a Steelers fan. I like the Bengals team, though. I really like Chase. I like Joe Burrow. I like that team. I like Mixon. I thought if that AFC Championship went into overtime, that the Bengals were going to win. I really did. But the fact that that defensive penalty with shoving Mahomes out. But that's all that. And then, you know, with Sam Fran in the losing two quarterbacks in the game, and then even though they lost quarterbacks, their defense looked like dog shit. Like, and they were the best defense the second half of the season, and they just got freaking exposed by that run game, which when it comes to playoff time in the NFL, like having a run game that's solid really helps. But they have an amazing rush offense. between Hurts and Sanders and who are those other two guys that they got? I'm not a big Eagles fan, so I don't.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
So two best teams made it. I honestly, Mahomes, you just can't. With everything I said about Hurts, Mahomes is just so damn special. Like, that dude, with playing with a high ankle sprain like he did, making the plays he did, I just don't see how they're not going to win. I really don't. I think Mahomes is going to figure out a way to do it. I think Kelce, it's going to be a pass offense versus rush offense. I mean, and the few defensive key plays, which the Eagles have a great defense, but I think Mahomes is going to lead them to their second championship in, what, 3 or 4 years? And it'll be nice to see my guy Juju Smith-Schuster win a Super Bowl. I've always liked him.
Mr. TikTok. Well, I guess not so much anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, he was the least crazy one out of the Steelers players back when. No, I think the Chiefs are going to win. A final score, I think it's going to be like 38-35 Kansas City. Low scoring game first half, then pretty high scoring second half after everyone gets hyped up watching Rihanna's stage.
Yeah.
Go KC 38-35 with Mahomes winning Super Bowl MVP.
All right. So real quickly before I give my pick, I just want to announce some of the winners of NFL honors. So it looks like Jets wide receiver Garrett Wilson takes Offensive Rookie of the Year. We have Brian Daboll, Coach of the Year for the Giants.
Looks like the Mr. Gritty himself, Offensive Player of the Year, Justin Jefferson.
Yep, we have Sauce Gardner, a Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Hey, the Jets are coming, man. The Jets are coming.
Yep. Yeah, especially to get like a quarterback in the offseason, like a decent one.
When they get Aaron Rodgers, they're coming.
I think he's going Raiders, but that's for another show. D'Amico Ryan is the Assistant Coach of the Year. Garrett Wilson, if I already said that, yeah, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Let's see, we have Nick Bosa, Defensive Player of the Year, which I thought that was going to go to Chris Jones. And then, of course, we already mentioned we have Geno as Comeback Player of the Year.
Good for him. He deserved a fair opportunity, and he played real well with the Seahawks. So
I agree. And then we're going to find out at some point of the year who the MVP is, which it's likely going to be Mahomes. So to the Super Bowl. So for me, I think it's actually going to be a low-scoring game. And that's throughout the whole game. I think both teams are going to be in the 20s. I think that the pass rush of the defense or the pass rush of the Eagles are going to get to Mahomes. I think it might be a little similar to the same thing that he experienced against the Bucks. I don't know if they're going to sack him as much as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did, because obviously that offensive line was garbage and they reloaded up against that. But I think that the Chiefs are kind of banged up offensively as far as, you know, they're missing some key players. I just think that's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be – and the reason I say that is because the AFC title game, I thought that was going to be a high-scoring game between two great offenses and both teams. You know, what the – I was at the game. What was the final score? 23-20. Yeah, 23-20. So both teams barely got over 20. So I'm going to say it's going to be similar to that. I think the final score is going to be...
You got to think, though. That's in, like, how cold was it out there?
It was fucking cold. It was, like, teens. It was, like, 10 degrees. It was cold.
Let me throw this real quick. The game's in Arizona. Whoever wins the game is going to be the team that wins the most games in that stadium all year.
That is funny. And the Chiefs already won there already.
And Philly did too.
So Here's what I think. And also, the warm weather could also lead to cramping. You know, it could still lead to injuries. You know, so the weather could potentially still play a factor in that sense. I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying it could. I mean, it could also hurt them the other way. But I think it's gonna be a low scoring game. I think I'm gonna say final score. I'm gonna say final score 25-21. I'm gonna say Eagles. Just because I think it'd be no disrespect. Like I said at the beginning of the show, and my fiance, who I love very much, if you're listening to this, I love you. But I cannot go to work and see on my Facebook feed all the annoying ass Chiefs fans in my timeline. And so I would just love very much for them to shut the hell up. But I'm not confident in that pick because, as you just said, Mahomes is Mahomes. Can't really count him out. Would I be surprised if the Chiefs are going to win? No. Actually, since I'm a betting man, I'm actually going to probably bet the Chiefs to win so I can win some sort of betting money.
Well, what's the over right now? Because the Phillies favor to win, right?
They are. So, and actually, before I want to wrap up the show with actually was related to that. Maybe you can help me tell me what you think about some of these as I'm filling out my picks. So, the current over-under right now on the game is 50.5. With the Chiefs being a 1.5 underdog. So here's what I want to ask you this. Do you think that the total is going to go above or below 50.5? I guess you already told me that. You think it's going to go below?
No, I think it's above.
Oh, okay, that's right. You said high scoring game. I'm going the opposite, saying going low. Did you tell me who you're going to be your prediction for Super Bowl MVP? I'm assuming Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes.
I think whoever the winning quarterback is, that's going to be the MVP. That's just usually what it comes down to. So, since I said the Eagles, I'm going to go Jalen Hurts. But I could also see it being a Miles Sanders. I can also see it being A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. But it's usually a quarterback award, so... The winning team is the quarterback is going to be the MVP. Let me ask you this, Adam. Let's just go over a couple of props. If someone who's listening to this game or listening to this podcast right now and is also going to bet this game, let's help them see if we can win some money. So I want to give you three prop bets, and I want you to say over under. So as far as passing props, you have Jalen Hurts over under 238.5, and then you have Patrick Mahomes over or under 294.5. If you were, I know you're in Oklahoma and you guys aren't a legal betting state, but if you were, what would you take? Would you take both to go over, one to go over? What would you do?
Both to go under.
Both to go under. Okay. All right. Is there a reason behind that?
I think that Philly is going to dominate the run offense. I think that's where most of their yards are going to come. But I think the fact that they don't have the experience in the Super Bowl like a lot of the Chiefs offensive players and players overall do have from just being there recently, and Juju's got playoff experience from when he was with Pittsburgh. I think that Philly's offense is going to sputter a little bit. I think that Mahomes is going to make big plays, but I don't think he's going to shred it up like he has in previous games, but he threw for over 300 against Cincinnati, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
In the cold weather.
I go, the older I get, I've learned to go with what my gut tells me, and my gut tells me that they're both going to be under, so I'm going to go under.
All right. I would say over on Jalen, under on Mahomes, if I had to choose. Let's go passing touchdowns, both over or under a touchdown and a half. I personally, both over. See, I feel confident in Mahomes going over, but in the NFC title game, Jalen Hurts was the same, and he didn't even throw a single one. So
they didn't need to. They could they slowed the game down. They jumped out to the lead, just had to slow the game down.
Right, right. And so maybe that's the case. I mean, maybe like you already mentioned, you think they're going to rely heavily on their running. So that makes me believe that maybe he gets one. So if I was going to bet, I'm going to go the under on that one. And just as a fun one, Adam, what do you think the color of the Gatorade is going to be?
For both teams?
For the winning team. Like, who's going to get the, what's the winning Gatorade color going to be? Let me tell you what the options are right now.
You don't need to tell me, I already got this. It's going to be, early wins, it's going green.
Okay.
No doubt. And then if the Chiefs win, it's red. There's no questions asked.
You think so?
Yep.
All right, let's see if I can tell
you. Green Gatorade, if it's apple flavored, is phenomenal. For the record, if you haven't tried that, green apple Gatorade is delicious.
I'm actually not much of a Gatorade fan myself, personally.
Yeah.
So, let me see here. Let me see if I can find another fun prop bet. I know sometimes they bet the over-under on what the national anthem would be as far as the time.
Depends on who's singing it.
Yeah, I don't really know who it is at this moment.
While you're looking that up, fun fact, the last 8 teams that have won the coin toss have lost the Super Bowl.
I've heard that. I saw that. That would be interesting. I am going to be keeping a close eye on that. So I can't find that, which is okay. So, Adam, I think that's all we really had. I'm looking forward to watching the Super Bowl this Sunday. It's going to be a fun week.
We always end it with like some random something that we both saw. One thing that I saw, I kind of wanted to hit on it. I was reading a news outlet, just scrolling through, see what was going on in the world. There was the 1982 MVP of the NFL was a kicker from the Washington Redskins. Think about that for a second. I'm going to look up his name while you give me something. But who would have ever thought that a kicker would win the MVP? Now, there was like – it was a shortened season. They had multiple breaks due to lockouts during the season. But and the kicker, they interviewed him, and he talked about how he never got a trophy and all this other shit. So his name was Mark Mosley.
Oh. Okay. I don't really have anything. Apparently LeBron is giving a I guess they're doing like a breaking the record ceremony for LeBron right now, and I guess LeBron is speaking. I guess he's not playing tonight.
How about this? You know, you're being the only father on this show. I know that your son is a big Fox fan from the Sacramento Kings, right?
He is. And actually, fun fact, for those of you who don't know, so his birthday, for his birthday last year, we took him to a Sacramento Kings game in Memphis. And he actually got his picture taken in a jersey signed by D-Fox. So as a father, that was a cool experience. Because, you know, as a kid, they have all these expectations. Like, Dad, when I go there, I'm going to meet D-Fox. I'm going to get my jersey signed. And I'm like, you know, you think to yourself, well, that'd be cool, but it likely won't happen. And it did. And that was a cool moment as a dad for him to get to meet his favorite player. And I will say, if this ever gets back to D-Fox, greatly appreciate you signing his, because he had a birthday sign that said, hey, it's my birthday. The only thing I want for my birthday is to meet you. And the fact that you went out of your way to make that moment for him was not just awesome for him, but it was awesome for me as a father, because like, and Adam, hopefully you're lucky one day to be a father yourself, if that's something that you want. And there's nothing better than like being a dad and you seeing your son like light up like that. And like, you could just tell, like, he was shedding tears of just pure pure enjoyment. I remember he cried, and I was like, son, why are you crying? He's like, I'm just so happy. And like that just like tugged at my heartstrings, the fact that for his birthday, I was able to like make that dream come true for him. Now he has the jersey hung up in his room. He's like, Dad, I'm never going to wear this jersey again. I got to get another jersey because it's his, you know. And so, like, yeah, it was a cool experience. I didn't mean to go off on a soapbox there, but, like, yeah, he did. He is a big D-Fox fan, and it was just cool that he got to meet his idol.
And he's not a bandwagon basketball player fan. That is what I like about your son.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, he is a big he does kind of jump on the bandwagon as far as, like, who's winning. Because before – well, okay. I can't say that because he's in that way since as far as like I'm a LeBron guy, and the football side he is a big Odell Beckham fan. So when Odell was in Cleveland, he was a big Cleveland fan. And then when Odell went to LA, he's an LA fan. So I guess in a way he's kind of when the Rams won the Super Bowl, he's like, oh, we're the champions, and I was just like, well, you're not really a Rams fan, you're an Odell fan. So in a way.
At least he knows what it's like for his team to win a Super Bowl, Rob. I know what that's like. I mean, we have so many of them, it's hard to count. You know?
That's still a touchy...
28-3.
Yeah, I know, Adam, I know. Yeah, and the anniversary's coming up, March 28 of that, so that's awesome. And also, yeah, I got reminded of that because last week... I think it was Monday or Tuesday of last week was like the anniversary of that Super Bowl, and so that's all I got to see on my timeline was that. So you know what, Adam, one day we will hopefully get that stain away from us, and we'll be able to finally win a Super Bowl
when y'all get Lamar Jackson in the offseason this year. You have a better shot.
Yeah, as much as I would love to say that's going to happen, I'm not doubtful. I don't think it's going to happen. But, Adam, that was fun, man. Definitely have to get back on here soon. Again, for our new listeners, thanks for checking us out. Our old people, thanks for reconnecting with us. Hopefully we try to make this a weekly thing again. It'll be interesting to see who wins the game on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. Adam, real quick before we wrap this up, what's your plan for the Super Bowl? Are you having a party? Are you going to a bar? What are you doing?
So, I'm actually off most of next week, so I will be heading back to Missouri for part of my vacation to see my mother and sister and spend time with some friends. So I'm actually gonna make some homemade wings in the air fryer and possibly have a small get together at my house is going to be my plan. What about you, Mr. Crabtree?
Well, I will also be in Columbia for the weekend. So I forget, remind me what days you're going to be in Columbia.
So I will be heading to Columbia either Valentine's Day or the day after, but I actually fly out of Columbia to North Carolina for the weekend to visit a friend and fly back to Columbia.
That's right.
Monday and drive back here in 7 hours Monday night.
Okay, so we'll have to try to reconnect some other time, but we won't bore our listeners with that. But
we need to play one-on-one, man, basketball.
Okay.
I got some years on you on the opposite end, but I'm a grinder, man. I dive for those loose balls. I'm a dirty guy. You know, you're not going to come in on the paint on me. I can promise you that right now. You'll get the Dikembe Mutombo finger in your face if you try to.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll see what happens. But anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. If you're a Chiefs fan, good luck to you guys. If you're an Eagles fan, good luck to you guys. And Adam and I will catch you soon. This has been No BS, and we'll catch you on the flip side. So, Adam, we out.
Peace.